The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show as we kick off another week of broadcasting here on KPCG and the streaming KPCG, kpcg.fm. We've got some breaking news. I know on Friday's program, Andrew Locher talked a fair bit about just some news and events in God's work. And so carrying on with that theme, yesterday down in New Orleans, Isaac McDonald, he's an 11-year-old. He actually lives over there in the Edstone building with a number of the students and my family. He placed first at the North American Championships in the under-11 category, so a tremendous achievement for little Mr. McDonald. Of course, you've heard his father many times on this program. Filling in for me. So very exciting news coming out of New Orleans. Just last evening, as Isaac placed first, Noah Hilliker also danced yesterday. He placed a seventh, and I believe he qualified for Worlds next year. So a really successful day for the dance program. The dancers here in Edmond and also the ones over in Edstone. As well. Also yesterday, we had a beautiful wedding. This was last night right here on the campus, headquarters campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. Sam and Brooke Livingston were married. A beautiful evening last night out in front of Armstrong Auditorium. Of course, many of you are familiar with Sam, who helps to produce the program, this radio program over in Edstone when we run that live stream. Every day at 1 p.m. It plays, of course, here in the central United States time zone at 7 a.m. And, of course, when I'm here on campus, the headquarters campus, Dwight Falk fills in with those responsibilities, taking over the work on production for this program. So when we get back to Edstone in a couple of days, Sam won't be back, I believe, until next week. But we'll be back in action from Edstone in just a few days. I mentioned Andrew Locher filling in on Friday. That was his Trumpet Daily Radio Show debut. So hopefully, if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, you can go to thetrumpet.com or kpcg.fm to hear the podcast. As I said, he discussed a number of things that are going on in God's work. He mentioned, and he also wrote about this, in his trumpet brief on Friday, my father's upcoming personal appearance campaign in Chicago. That's scheduled for next Sunday, this next Sunday and Monday night. So a week from now, he'll be delivering two public Bible lectures to viewers of the Key of David program there in the Chicago area. As Mr. Locher mentioned in his trumpet brief, I think we sent out something like 6,000 letters to those who subscribe to our Trumpet magazine in and around the Chicago area. And thus far, we have 500 people registered for that first lecture Sunday night, and then another 400 for the second lecture. And Andrew Locher brought out in the trumpet brief that my father's first lecture, the one that he's scheduled to give next Sunday night, is on the subject of prophecy, great hope in prophecy. And it just made me think about, well, we've gotten a lot of instruction over the last few weeks. I have, so many of us have, in God's church about the subject of prophecy. We had a ministerial conference a couple of weeks ago, and there was a lecture during the conference on the subject of prophecy and using prophecy in our ministry. And how, I mean, if you followed this work for very long, you know just how central this subject of prophecy is to God's work and what God is doing here in these latter days. And this is something that God wants for us to talk about. This is something that God wants for us to be grounded in. In one of my father's booklets, this is in Prophesy Again, he talked about a statement Mr. Armstrong made, Herbert Armstrong. He made this back in 1984, saying that he wished that the ministers would talk about these many prophecies that are being fulfilled. I mean, his take was that that the ministers in God's church, this is back in the 1980s, his take was that they weren't talking about the prophecies of God enough. He said they needed to be explained and proclaimed to our people. And if you know anything about the ministry and the work of Herbert Armstrong, I mean, you know that that man of God, that he was out there prophesying, that he was out there teaching from the great prophecies of God. I've played some of these clips before on this program, but just to give you an example of some of the things that Mr. Armstrong said over the course of his ministry on the air, on television, on radio. Here's one example of that, clip number one.
I wonder if you realize that about one-third of the Bible is prophecy. 90% of that, approximately, is devoted to the pulsating present and the time immediately ahead of us, the next few years. Yet that is the neglected third of the Bible. That's the third you seldom ever hear a sermon about. You seldom ever hear it preached, and if you do, it would barely be to get a word out of it or something, and then the preacher to go on and preach something of his own ideas about something has nothing to do with what's actually going to happen in the world. And yet here in the Bible, about one-third of it devoted to prophecy, telling you what is going to happen.
About one-third of the Bible is devoted to prophecy, and yet as Herbert Armstrong said there in that soundbite, this is the neglected third. You seldom, if ever, hear a sermon about these many prophecies of God. Why would a third of the Bible be neglected? Yet that's what happens in the world of Christianity today. You even bring up the subject of prophecy, and so many people think you're kind of crazy, or that you belong on a soapbox somewhere in the middle of the city. Let's begin our study today over in Revelation chapter 10. This is a prophecy that we talked about early on in the Philadelphia Church of God, as we entered into the Laodicean era following the death of Herbert Armstrong. That happened in 1986. And then when God raised up the Philadelphia Church of God in 1989 and on into 1990, this was a passage, Revelation 10, this was a passage that my father went to often. Revelation 10 and verse 5. We'll start here in verse 5. It says, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer," or as it says in the Revised Standard Version, "no more delay." No more delay. In that booklet, Prophesy Again, my father talks about the rise of the King of the South and the King of the North, and how that these two great powers are just skyrocketing today, skyrocketing to power. There was a time, going back to Herbert Armstrong's ministry, when God was holding back world events. But he's not doing that anymore. Events are moving along at lightning speed. As I said, Herbert Armstrong died in 1986. God raised up the Philadelphia Church of God in 1989. And even look at world events, what was going on at that time. The Berlin Wall came down in November of 1989. Even as Malachi's message to God's church today, even as Malachi's message was being prepared for release, My father writes on this in the Habakkuk booklet. He says, the split in God's church occurred in December 1989, 1 month after the Berlin Wall came down in Germany, paving the way for Germany's reunification. He says here, Germany is now becoming the financial powerhouse of the world. He said the Holy Roman Empire is ready to burst on the world scene. It says the 10 nations are almost in place. All that has to happen is for someone to tie it all together. There's the Daniel 8 strongman he references there. And he says when that happens, the greatest time of suffering will begin. You see, all of this is prophesied. It's all prophesied. It's all discussed in that neglected third of the Bible. And you can understand it. You can know where we're headed if you'll just look into that neglected third. You can know the time that we're living in. This is another clip here from the same message. Mr. Armstrong's old radio show on Don't Ignore This. Wake up! Don't ignore these prophecies. Wake up! This is clip number two.
Now they can be understood. They haven't been understood because God had closed and sealed most of the prophecies until this time of the end in which we live now. We're living in that time. God's time has come to open up the prophecies, to reveal the secrets, the mysteries of God that have been closed and hidden and sealed until now. We can know. We're living in this time. We're living in a time of change. We're living in a time when this whole world is changing so rapidly as it never did before. There has never been a time like this in the history of the world. And things are happening fast. And they're going to happen faster in the immediate future. We're in sort of a lull right now. But I want to tell you that there are gigantic forces working furiously undercover.
Well, they were in a lull at that time, but that's no longer the case. As he said there, I mean, there's never been a time like this in the history of this world. I was talking to someone just last night about people who sometimes will turn and walk away from God's truth, who will leave this precious, precious truth and all of this understanding. Even just being down in New Orleans, I can't even remember the last time I was in that city, but I was there on Thursday night and Friday and seeing that city, driving in a taxi, talking to the driver of the taxi. I asked him just how safe the city is, and he said it's not safe at all, that people go down there. Tourists come from all over the world to party in New Orleans, to get drunk and to walk on Bourbon Street and Canal Street or whatever, and they just they make themselves open targets, staggering down the street, and then in some cases robbed or whatever. But he said, you know, you've got to stay where the crowds are, go during the day, and then don't roam the streets at night. It's like so many of the the big cities in the United States. Andrew Locher talked about this on Friday, referring to Chicago. Look at all the murders that happen in Chicago. And then the crime and the violence. It doesn't seem very safe when you just look at the city of New Orleans. There's a lot of things about that city that aren't nice, that aren't glamorous. And yet, look at the way Satan makes those cities seem to be. I mean, everybody wants to go there and have fun and party and live it up. And yet, you don't need to scratch beneath the surface very far to see that there's a lot of unhappiness, a lot of division, a lot of poverty, a lot of crime and violence. It's that way all over the world in these biggest cities that man has constructed. What does God have to say about our society? What does God have to say about our present evil world? Well, leaving aside the violence and the crime in our inner cities, look at what Christ prophesied about nations rising against nations. I just mentioned the fall of the Berlin Wall back in 1989. The unification of Germany. The European Union. My father referenced the power, the position of Germany, the financial powerhouse of the world. And those 10 nations that are coming together. These are things, I mean, this is, we produced a program, a TV program on this over in the UK a year or two ago about the signature prophecy of Herbert Armstrong. That was the rise, the seventh and final rise of the Holy Roman Empire. Those 10 nations in Europe rallying around that Daniel 8 man. And then it introduces us to the greatest time of human suffering ever. I've mentioned this example before when the Berlin Wall came down. Now, this happened after Herbert Armstrong died, but it was just a few years after he died. And to show you how far-reaching his prophetic message was, when that wall in Germany came down, there was a news station in Seattle that actually called the Worldwide Church of God and said, well, you've been proclaiming this for decades. You've been talking about the unification of Germany and the European Union or this European empire. This is your signature prophecy. Well, this news director at that station in Seattle, he called the World Tomorrow program. He called the Worldwide Church of God, saying that your church has been predicting the reunification of Europe in some form or fashion. And he actually wanted to get on-air comments from a World Tomorrow representative. This is the program that Herbert Armstrong established. He wanted to get on-air comments from a representative of God's church about the fall of the Berlin Wall and about end-time prophetic events. And this was in the Worldwide News. This is the newspaper produced by the Worldwide Church of God back in 1989. It says here that the news director, this is following the conversation that he had with a World Tomorrow representative. It says the news director was disappointed that we would not proclaim this to be the absolute beginning of end-time events, but it was interesting that he did say that the church has predicted from the Bible, that what the church has predicted from the Bible was remarkably close to what appears to be happening. What a response, or lack thereof. That news director went away disappointed. He didn't get the on-air comments. He didn't get anyone at that time. He didn't get anyone in the Worldwide Church of God willing to come forward and say, this is significant. I mean, this is the beginning of end time events. There's one last resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Well, just a few weeks after that exchange, my father was fired from the Worldwide Church of God. And, of course, that was the mustard seed beginning of the Philadelphia Church of God. As my father started to prophesy again, as it says in the scriptures, to prophesy again, we read through Revelation 10, verses 5 and 6, about no more delay. You can read through to the end of that chapter, where God says in verse 11, you must prophesy again. You must do this. You must do it again. And so that's what this church has been doing. And of course, the Worldwide Church of God, following the death of Herbert Armstrong, they stopped prophesying. Mr. Armstrong's successor, Joseph Tkach, following the death of Herbert Armstrong, he came out. He was telling the church early on in 1986 that Mr. Armstrong told him that, supposedly, he told him, I've gone to world leaders, and so your job, Mr. Tkach, is to bring the church together. That's what Mr. Tkach related to the church back in 1986, that Mr. Armstrong supposedly said, you know, the work of going to the world is over. And so just get busy bringing the church together. And as my father has noted before, there's nothing in the writings of Herbert Armstrong, there's nothing in those final messages he gave in 1985 to suggest that the work of going to world leaders or the work of going to the world, there's nothing in his writings or teachings to suggest that that was over in 1986. In fact, if you look into some of the last things that Mr. Armstrong wrote, or if you look into some of his final messages, really what you find or what you discover is Mr. Armstrong saying that we've got to continue on with this legacy. We've got to continue on with this prophetic warning. This is from his very last coworker letter, January 10th, 1986. This is the letter where Mr. Armstrong said, you know, this could be my last letter. He knew he was about to die. He knew that his service to God was about over. But he said in this letter that, look, just because I'm about to die, it doesn't mean that the work ends. I mean, this is God's work. And we've got to faithfully do God's work right up until the return of Christ. He says here, this is from January 10th, 1986. He says, remember, brethren, this is not the work of Herbert Armstrong, nor will it be the work of Mr. Tkach or any man. It's the work of the living Creator God. You are supporting this work of God, and it's the great God who will pour out his blessings on you for your generosity. Continue to sacrifice through 1986 to finish the commission God has given his church. You keep sacrificing. You keep serving. You keep giving. We've got to finish the commission. We've got to finish the work. He went on to say that the greatest work lies yet ahead. The greatest work. He quoted from John 4 and verse 35, talking about the harvest, how that they're ready to be harvested, the fields, that is. And then he made this statement here, never before in the history of the church has it been possible to reap so great a harvest. Further on in the letter, he said, are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Are you ready? Each of you must commit yourself to support God's work, to fast and pray. God's work must push ahead this coming year as never before. God is opening new doors in television and in the Plain Truth distribution. Help us walk through them. There's nothing in that letter suggesting that, well, the work of warning the world or the work of going to world leaders, that's over. And brethren, you just need to come together now. Far from that. I mean, he was saying, look, the greatest work lies ahead, and God's opening new doors for this program, for this broadcast, for the Plain Truth magazine. That's pretty amazing what his focus was on, even in the last days of his life as a 93-year-old man. And yet look at the disturbing new direction that church headed in following his death. I think it was in his first sermon as pastor general. This was just a couple of days after Mr. Armstrong died, that Mr. Tkach was talking about the church's commission, and I write about this in Raising the Ruins, and he went over to Matthew 28 and verse 19, the verse that talks about teaching all nations or making disciples in all nations. And he said that this is the commission of the church. I mean, obviously, Matthew 28 and verse 19 is an important verse. And its fulfillment is ongoing and will continue on through to the wonderful world of tomorrow. I mean, it certainly ties in with the Great Commission. But as anyone who's familiar with Herbert Armstrong's work knows, when Mr. Armstrong was talking about the commission that God's given to his church, he went to Matthew 24 and verse 14, the verse that talks about preaching the gospel message to the world as a witness. As a witness, most aren't going to accept the message. I mean, it's a prophetic message at its core. And this is the section of the Bible that's just totally neglected. Most will reject it, but you preach this message. You give this warning as a witness. Now, of course, Mr. Armstrong also fed the flock of God. It was a two-pronged mission. Preach the gospel. Give the warning message, Matthew 24:14. And also feed the flock. Feed the sheep. And he did do that, of course. Look at all of the publications the church produced. It wasn't just the World Tomorrow program and the Plain Truth magazine. It was also the Good News magazine, mostly for church members and co-workers, the youth magazine, all of the youth camps. We have one going on right now here on the Edmond campus. It was a beautiful sight even last night, seeing all of the campers, all 12 dorms, come up for the wedding that we had on the lawn out in front of Armstrong Auditorium. All of these campers sitting there on the grass and viewing this wedding, these two individuals that had been to so many camps during their teen years and that had gone through Armstrong College, 4 years each, and now as young adults, marrying in God's church. The God family vision. I mean, these are young people that are being fed, that are being taught God's ways, and that are being encouraged to put their hearts in the work. The work of going to this world, the work of prophesying again, the work of warning this world of what's coming, prophesying of what's coming. This was something that the Laodiceans, and you can see what God prophesied about that era of the church, but this was something that the Laodiceans stopped doing immediately after Mr. Armstrong died. I mean, it was as if as soon as he was dead, that's it, we've stopped. And Mr. DeKotch comes out and says, look, the commission is really about Matthew 28:19, not Matthew 24:14. There was a definite change within days of Mr. Armstrong's death. And of course, this sin, this Laodicean sin, it's talked about in prophecy after prophecy after prophecy of God, in the major prophets, in the minor prophets. It's all through the Bible. It's all through the Old Testament. Let's look at one in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 11. I mean, this is a great sin. This is a great sin in these latter days. Preachers who won't preach the truth of God. I mean, Paul talked about this too. Isaiah 30. Paul referenced that in his last book to Timothy. There's coming a time, Timothy, just so that you know, that they're going to reject these sound words of God. That they just want to hear smooth things. They want you to tell them that, hey, Chicago's great. Go visit it. Go party in Chicago. New Orleans, it's great. Las Vegas, San Francisco. I mean, this is the high life. If you can make it over to those cities, and if you can gamble your way through the night, or if you can stagger down the street drunk, that's really what it's all about. It's about having fun. And meanwhile, you have all these villains and robbers lurking in the darkness. And these cities falling apart. And these poverty-stricken districts. The crime and the violence, the darkness, the ugliness. Satan has a way of making it look so glamorous. Well, you put all of your police force around Bourbon Street, and hopefully tourists will feel safe to come down and party up. And it's the same with Las Vegas or San Francisco, Chicago, Manhattan. But you don't have to venture very far away from these heavily patrolled touristy areas to see that these are not places that you want to live in. These are not places where you can roam the streets at night. It's not a safe place. The world is not a safe place. Look at the world today. And then consider what so many prophecies of God have to say about present world conditions. Notice Ezekiel 11, verse 1. It says, "Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which looks eastward. And behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jezaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people." These were leading men who were turning their backs on God, who were pressuring others in the priesthood to just go along with them. Look, forget about God and his prophecies, and let's just talk about smooth things. Let's just talk about how great this world is. Verse 2 says, "Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, it is not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh." I mean, it's not. What are they saying? They're saying it's not near. In other words, the end of days. It's not near. You can put it far into the future. Don't worry about it. Let's build up the houses. Let's accumulate riches. Let's get caught up into materialism. What does God say about the Laodiceans in Revelation 3? He says they're rich and increased with goods. Amos chapter 6, there's a similar message here. In the minor prophets, Amos 6 and verse 1, here again, it's not near, don't worry about it. We'll go back to Ezekiel here in just a second. But notice Amos 6. It says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came." God says, "Woe to them that are at ease." That are at ease. You see, everything's easy. Everything's fun. New Orleans, that's the big easy. It's out of touch with the reality of what's actually happening. Amos says, you that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. These are ministers or priests of God that say, oh, the evil day, that's far away. Everything right now is great. Mr. DeKoch, this is from one of his articles in 1990. This is just 4 years removed from Herbert Armstrong's death. And Mr. DeKoch said, "If anyone is still unclear about the need for us to change our preoccupation with prophecy, whether in preaching, teaching, in the publications, or on the telecast, then let me make the truth very plain." See, in his view, we just had this preoccupation with prophecy. I mean, this was just a matter of months after that news director called up The World Tomorrow and said, "Hey, the wall's coming down. And you've been talking about this reunification of Europe in some form for decades. Would you like to comment on our program?" "Well, no, thank you. We don't want to jump to conclusions here." The spirit of that response flowed out of this thinking. Joseph DeKoch saying, "Hey, in the past, we've had this preoccupation with prophecy.
And we've got to stop with that. We've got to focus on other things now. We've got to turn inward.
And that's what they did. And you know what? Well, as I said a moment ago, dozens of prophecies of God talk about that turn away from the truth, that rejection of God's message. I mean, just the fact that God said in Revelation 10, you must prophesy again. You've got to do it again because others stopped it. Amos chapter 2, verse 11, it says, and I raised up of your sons for prophets and of your young men for Nazarites. It says, is it not even thus, O you children of Israel, says the Lord, but you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. That's what so many were told following the death of Herbert Armstrong, ministers that were out and about who were told to prophesy not. Don't you prophesy. Look, we've had a preoccupation with it in years past. And yet, even in the final days of Mr. Armstrong, he was out there lamenting the fact that the ministry, they weren't out preaching these prophecies like they should have been. Even Mr. Armstrong noted that before he died. And then he dies and Mr. DeKotch comes along and says, well, he changes the commission. He tells the brethren of the church, we've had a preoccupation with prophecy, and so we're going to stop with that. We're going to change our message. The same thing is discussed in Micah chapter 2. Just jot it down, Micah 2 and verse 6, where it says, prophesy you not, say they, to them that prophesy. See, these evil and wicked ministers, they say to those prophesying, don't prophesy. Come on, stop with that message. Stop delivering that warning message. It's making me uncomfortable. When you talk about the evil and the violence in these cities, when you talk about terrorist attacks, when you talk about nations fighting against nations, that's what so many of the prophets had to say or had to talk about. That's what Jesus proclaimed. You can see it in the Gospels. God says you must prophesy. And yet for so many of God's people, this same prophetic passage in Micah 2, it talks about so many of the people of God that have risen up against God as an enemy of God. They won't preach the word. They won't proclaim God's truth. They won't warn the world. They don't have the courage. They don't have the faith. Back to Ezekiel 11. Let's just finish up with this passage. It says in verse 3, again, I read this earlier, which say, it is not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. Therefore, prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. God says to his prophet here, for those people that are out there saying, it's not near, don't worry, everything's fine. God said to his prophet, you prophesy against them. You get out there and tell the truth. Down in verse 15, this is Ezekiel 11, it says, son of man, your brethren, even your brethren, the men of your kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get you far from the Lord, unto us is this land given in possession. God said to his servant here, you prophesy even against your own brethren. You remind the brethren of God. You remind the brethren who were once part of the worldwide church of God, who once supported the work of Herbert W. Armstrong. You remind them about who they are, what they once supported, the message that they got behind. Tell them, warn them, proclaim this truth, prophesy again. And that's what you see God's work doing today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email this program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
I'm speaking to you from our television studios in Pasadena, where I speak to the world as a voice crying out in the wilderness of modern religious confusion.
Herbert W. Armstrong was the world's leading televangelist and one of the most prominent religious leaders of the 20th century. Watched, read, and followed by millions worldwide. But his legacy of Bible-based humanitarianism came under attack after he died. The cabal of leaders who took control of the church he founded, after pledging to follow in his footsteps, methodically destroyed all he had built. Those who would stop them were silenced or excommunicated. This shocking story of betrayal and deception is told in Raising the Ruins. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Now he said, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed or preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
An exciting, pulsating, vital third of all the Bible is devoted to prophecy. And approximately 90% of all prophecy pertains to our time, now, in this 21st century. It is a warning to us, to our English-speaking peoples, of immediate life and death import. The prophecies come alive once their doors are opened by this now-discovered master key. The United States and Britain in prophecy will open, to open minds, this hitherto closed vital third of all the Bible. No story of fiction ever was so strange, so fascinating, so absorbing, so packed with interest and suspense as this gripping story of our identity and our ancestry. Request the United States and Britain in Prophecy and a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine right now. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
I tell you, my friends, you better realize what's in your Bible, and it's not in some obscure passage just in some place with an obscure meaning that might be misinterpreted. It is in Jeremiah, it is in Isaiah, it is all through your Bible. It's in Amos, it's in Hosea, and it's in Micah, it's in Zephaniah, it's in the teaching of Jesus, it's in the book of Revelation. I want to tell you, my friends, it's all through your Bible. The trouble is we've been neglecting prophecy. We haven't even looked at prophecy.
That's Herbert Armstrong from one of his old radio programs. It's all through the Bible. Jeremiah, Hosea, Micah, Zephaniah. It's in the Gospels. It's in the message that Jesus proclaimed. It's in the book of Revelation. A third of the Bible? A third of it. It's the neglected third. The neglected third. And Herbert Armstrong comes along as God's servant and says, look, you better get into the prophecies of God. You better blow the dust off your Bible. And understand what your Bible has to say about the future. I mean, these events are coming to pass. These prophecies are being fulfilled. This is another clip from that same program. It happened to be on the United States and Britain in prophecy. This is clip number 5.
I tell you, my friends, it's time we do blow the dust off our Bibles and realize that about one-third of your Bible is prophecy. That it has to do with this pulsating, moving, chaotic, upset world present, and that it tells what it's all about and where we're headed and why. Where are we going from here? What's going to happen?
It tells us about where we're headed, what's going to happen. You would think more people would want to know. I mean, given that it's just hit the nail right on the head, time and time and time again. I mean, think about just some of the things more recently that we've discussed on this program. Britain pulling out of the European Union, to take one example. I mean, that's just one of many. The Berlin Wall coming down. Mr. Armstrong talked about, you know, five nations coming from Western Europe, five from the East, from these satellites of the Soviet Union. And he was talking about that at a time when, I mean, it looked like the wall would never come down. But sure enough, it did. Germany came together, unified. Now you see the European Union, all that needs to happen is for a strong man to come along and for those 10 nations to coalesce around that German superpower. Britain's on the way out, just as has been prophesied. Back to Ezekiel. We read through some of chapter 11. Let's hit a few verses in chapter 12. This is Ezekiel 12 and verse 21. Notice this. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision fails." Every vision, every prophecy fails. That's what so many false ministers are out there saying. That's what the scoffers and the skeptics want you to believe. That, look, all these prophecies have failed. I mean, Mr. Armstrong was anticipating the return of Christ sooner. It didn't happen, so it must have failed. That's the way that so many people reason. Verse 23 says, "Tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will make this proverb, this prophecy, to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. You get out there and prophesy again. You get out there and tell them the days are at hand. Don't let up." That's what Mr. Armstrong was saying in that final coworker letter, January 10th, 1986. Look, the greatest work lies ahead. God's opening up these massive doors for television, for print. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Your role in supporting God's work, it's crucial. We've got to get this message out. We've got to proclaim this warning message. Verse 24, this is in Ezekiel 12, says, "For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel, for I am the Eternal. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, says the Eternal God." See, it's all going to be fulfilled in your days. These prophecies of God, they are being fulfilled. Verse 27 says, "Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he sees is for many days to come, and he prophesies of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus says the Eternal God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, says the Eternal God." See, God says to his servants today, you get out there and proclaim this message and tell them. Tell them that have been saying, the vision is far off. You tell them that it's not going to be prolonged anymore. These days are, they're here. They're here. Just think, I mean, go back. Forget what Mr. DeKotch said following the death of Herbert Armstrong. Just go back and look at the final writings of Herbert Armstrong. Go back and study Mystery of the Ages, which he finished in 1985. Listen to his final messages from Pentecost or from Trumpets of 1985. Read those final coworker letters. Read those booklets that he produced in the last years of his life. A World Held Captive. That's God's truth. Those are God's prophecies. Let's continue on in Ezekiel 13. Again, we just have time only to hit the high spots here. These are great chapters, though. Ezekiel 11, 12, and 13. It says in verse 1 of Ezekiel 13, "And the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy." Prophesy against the prophets. How about that? Prophets, I mean, they should be preaching and proclaiming these prophecies of God. If they're a minister of Christ, if they proclaim to be a minister of God, shouldn't they be talking about this third of the Bible? Why should they neglect it? And yet God has to tell his true servants, you've got to get out there and prophesy against the prophets. And say you unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear you the word of the Eternal. Thus says the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. That's what we see in the world of Christianity today. Just a bunch of foolish prophets. They don't know the truth. They won't proclaim the truth of God. They don't have the courage to tell you what's going to come upon our cities, New Orleans, San Francisco, Las Vegas, New York, Chicago, Manchester, Liverpool, Birmingham, London, Belfast. They don't have the courage to tell you the truth. And so God says, you've got to get out there and proclaim this truth and even prophesy against the prophets. Verse 9 says, and my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Eternal God. See, there. I mean, all will know before this is said and done. I mean, all will know that God's truth prevails, that God's prophecies are sure. Peter said the sure word of prophecy. It's so sure and certain. That's why we've got to be grounded in it. Verse 10, it says, because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And they built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. They seduced God's people with what kind of message did they seduce God's people with? A message of peace. Everything's going to be peaceful and secure. That's the great controversy in God's church today. You see it in these passages I've read to you. Micah 2, Amos 2, Ezekiel 11, Amos 6. You see it in Revelation 10. This great controversy in this end time over prophecy. One group that says, we've got to proclaim. I mean, how can we not roar this message? And another group that says, don't prophesy. Just relax. Everything's peaceful. Everything's going to be okay. Well, it goes on and talks about God's solution here in this same chapter. Ezekiel 13, verse 11. It says here, say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall, this wall that is. There shall be an overflowing shower, and you, O great hailstones, shall fall, it says, and a stormy wind shall rend it. So God's talking here. You can look into my father's Ezekiel booklet to study this in greater detail since we're about out of time today. But it's talking about a spiritual wall. And one group that builds up this wall using untempered mortar. And you can study into that word untempered. It means false, silly, or foolish. It's not going to last. It's not permanent. It's going to fall apart. This stormy wind will rend it and break it into pieces. God's truth, God's work will prevail. God's church, God's servant is out there prophesying again Well, there's more to get into, but we only have so much time on this program. Maybe I can carry on with this study later on this week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget to email us at td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.